And on the agenda this morning, we have a discussion on the proposed restructuring. And I think Mr. Borbridge and Mr. Nick will explain to you the nature of the present structure of the organization. And we have distributed some proposed alternatives for a restructuring of the organization that you have. And I now turn the meeting over to Mr. Borbridge and Mr. Nick.
Thank you, Mr. President. Before proceeding with the agenda set before you, I would like to note, as speaking momentarily as the elected president of Sea Alaska Corporation, that the Board of Directors of Sea Alaska Corporation is and has been in attendance at this convention.
I think it's working.
We'll try again. No, it's still not coming? I mention that because it is important to note the extent of the representative capacity of the people on the Board of Directors of the Alaska Federation of Natives. It is further important to note that the members representing the regional corporations on the Board of Directors is designated or selected or elected by the region that they represent. Therefore, they must have the support and the concurrence of the people in their region. As we have moved in our progress from the older AFN, which dissolved by the action of the people yesterday afternoon, into a new structure, we want to stress and to assure you that we are not now taking you into a structure which has been set without your participation. This is why, at this point, we are bringing to you this issue of what AFN should be in the future, how should it be structured, what will be the membership of AFN. These important elements, we stress again, are items that are so basic and so important that we need your ideas and your thinking. Under the statewide association, which was dissolved, the supreme authority was vested in an annual convention. The board of directors, somewhat uneven in its representative capacity in that some regions were smaller and some were larger, nevertheless came together for the purpose of advancing the land claims. The various member associations delegated, in effect, authority to that statewide association to represent it, particularly in lobbying for land claims. The Board of Directors had the authority under the Constitution and bylaws to act on behalf of the people in between conventions. Now we are moving to the point where we are taking note of the fact that under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, we have 12 regional corporations. As the AFN Incorporated moved toward the 12-man board, it realized that there was a necessity to amend its organic document, its articles of incorporation, and its bylaws. In its meetings in Anchorage on September 23, 24, and 25, there was action by the Board of Directors to amend the bylaws. However, it acted in the following fashion. The Board of Directors of AFN Incorporated directed that the proposed amendments to the bylaws should be divided into two categories. One group we called the technical or non-controversial amendments. These were acted on by the board. There was concurrence by all members of the board. Everybody agreed, and these were accepted. They were necessary in order to enable the board to move forward. As regards the proposed provisions, which were substantive or important and therefore possibly controversial, the board directed that these should be referred back to the regions for their study and their recommendations, so that concerning the important or substantive parts of the amendments to our bylaws of AFN Incorporated, there has presently been no action on these, other than the boards of directors of the regions are being asked now to consider those. Further, in its meetings, the Board of Directors of the Alaska Federation of Natives Incorporated, to what extent the board is able to determine or to decide on a lot of important parts of what logically an organization should be. It's a wise board, however, that notices and appreciates the fact that its judgments or its ideas are better and have the support of the people if we are able to bring these ideas to the people and to gain their reactions. Mr. Nick, therefore, will be laying before you some of the different options or choices that we might consider as we proceed with the task of developing this organization and charting out the new directions that we will take. So that essentially you see that two things have occurred up to this point. The other day we had the task that had to be done by we as a people, that we have to proceed with implementation of the Claims Act and to maximize the benefits of that act for our people. We realize that we have to influence legislation in Washington, D.C. and Juneau, that we have to maximize the programs to which we are entitled as a people while still retaining the capital or the assets we receive from the Claims Act. All of these were laid out before you very effectively by our President, Mr. Hensley. The second task is, how do we achieve this? What is the nature of the organization? How do the regional corporations participate? How do the people participate? What, if any, conventions will be held in the future? What things are to be decided on the regional level? What things, if any, are to be decided on the state level? Wide level. We know the passage of the Act has placed some very definite responsibilities on us. We know regionally there is organization and structuring to be done on the regional level, on the village level. And now we are saying this should be done on a statewide level, not because the Claims Act calls for this, but because our unity makes this a good thing for us to consider. We have responsibility for developing capability for handling our resources, financial, land, subsurface estate, which Mr. Tinker pointed out very capably arouses the interest of all people. We know that we need to review the priorities recommended by the AFN Incorporated. With this background, then, stressing again that we believe that our strength depends on the support and the understanding of our people, and that this is why we are discussing with you and asking your ideas. And I want to stress, you are not now being told this is the way it's going to be. You are being asked, what ideas do you have? Based on our experience and our study, here are the things that we have seen. Here are the things that we think are good. Where you have some very strong feelings, strong beliefs as to what should be in the organization, we want you to inform us of this. When the organization then is developed, we have the structure. It will not be the organization serving just 12 regional corporations, which after all are the people, but it will be an organization of the people. And unless we have this, we don't have a strong organization. When we do leave, we want some directions as to the things that you want to see. I do want to commend the chairman, Mr. Robert Nick, whom I appointed to the task of developing the priorities. I was impressed with his professional manner in approaching this. Mr. Nick, please.
As Chairman Borbidge pointed out, I was appointed to a committee, and I was appointed chairman of the committee to review the bylaws and the role of AFN Inc. and the membership of AFN Inc. And the committee, you know, has had informal meetings, you know, numerous informal meetings, you know, discussing the bylaws, the goals, and the membership of AFN Inc. Then in these informal meetings, the committee members approached various options or investigated various alternatives that the AFN Inc., you know, this organization of AFN Inc. Can consist of. The alternatives that the committee investigated were passed out in a three-page document, and I'm going to go over the alternatives. On these alternatives, we listed the advantages of having the membership consist of the alternative. And after the advantages, we listed the disadvantages. So I'll slowly review the options that were investigated by the committee. The first alternative that the committee reviewed was to have the corporations. I'll read as the proposal is. Alternative one, membership of this corporation shall consist of regional corporations as designated by the Native Claims Act. That means that the membership of AFN Inc. would consist of the regional profit corporations. On the next, line are the advantages. There are two advantages that the committee investigated. Number one being regional corporations funded by the Act, which provides for the financial support of AFN Inc., would control the purpose, scope, authority, budget, and contractual agreements of AFN Inc. That means that the profit corporations, the 12 regional corporations, would have a say in the affairs of AFN Inc. Number two, it would restrict the number of members to whom AFN Inc. is responsible. It makes it easier to establish goals and to resolve disputes. That means the 12 regional corporations would be able to designate a board of director to AFN Inc. that would limit the board of directors to 12. And here are the disadvantages of this option. Number one, the Alaska Natives born after December 18, 1971 cannot become stockholders of regional corporations except through inheritance until December 17, 1991 when the stock goes public. This means that the children that are born after December 18, 1971, who are not stockholders of regional corporations, would not be members of AFN Inc. They cannot participate or be legally represented by AFN Inc. until they become regional stockholders, and that is with the provision in the Act through inheritance, or after December 17, 1991. Two, with profit-making corporations as members of AFN Inc., political activities would be restricted. Three, number three, after discussions with the committee members, we deleted disadvantage three. Number four, there is no internal legal protection for natives against the actions taken by AFN Inc. Is there any questions to the following?
Could you
clarify four?
Or whoever you wish.
Yeah,
Ken's here.
Is Ken Bass in the audience? Ken, would you be? I'm not a lawyer, so I'll ask a lawyer to explain further some of the questions that might be asked. Number four is the internal legal protection for natives against the actions of AFN Inc.
Under the proposed structure, through which regional corporations only would belong to AFN Inc., individual natives would not have any membership or any legal rights in AFN Inc. The only rights that individual natives would have would be through their regional corporations. And that would mean that individual natives can vote to a certain limited extent in the regional corporation matters. They can sue in certain limited cases against the regional corporation board of directors and officers for acts undertaken by those persons. But they would have no rights to sue or to stop the activities of AFN Incorporated. The only potential right they'd have would be a very distant one, and that would be to sue the board of directors of the regional corporation, claiming that the person that they appointed or elected to the AFN Incorporated board should not have been elected or appointed. But that would be a very distant right and a very difficult one to ever upset or change the decision of the regional corporation board.
Alternative two, membership of this corporation shall consist of regional associations as determined by natives in that region. This means that regional tribal associations or regional native associations can be members of AFN Inc. The following are the advantages. All natives would be represented, including those who are not stockholders of regional corporations. The second advantage was deleted after informal discussions with the committee members. Number three, AFN Inc. would be able to help regions sponsor grants. That means that the member associations of AF and Inc. would be able to receive grants through the sponsorship of AF and Inc. Number four, AF and Inc. would carry more credibility with the natives and with public and government agencies. Disadvantages: regional corporations which would be expected to finance AF and Inc. would not be able to directly control the management of AF and Inc. except through contracts for services rendered. Number two, if primary funding of AF and Inc. comes from contracted services, the corporation's finances will be unstable. Number three, the lack of defining who the regional associations are. These are the advantages and disadvantages that were investigated and determined by the committee. Alternative three, membership of this corporation shall consist of regional corporations as designated by the Native Claims Act and regional associations as determined by natives of that region. Advantages: one, ensures some control of AF and Inc. by a funding source, which is the regional corporations. Two, enables AF and Inc. to sponsor grants. Three, provides AF and Inc. representative to all natives. Representation to all natives. Disadvantages: confusion and disputes can be created when regional corporations and associations do not agree on actions to be taken by their AF and Inc. board members. Two, potential conflict of interest in the area of contractual agreements between the regional corporations, associations, and AF and Inc. Three, lack of definition of who the regional association is. Alternative four, is there are no members of AF and Inc. And one of the advantages, you know, this is in line with the recommendation of one of the regional corporations, is that there would be no dues if there were no members. That's one of the advantages. The disadvantage provides complete control to 12 individuals who do not have to be responsible to regions, villages, natives, and stockholders. That means that the 12 directors would have complete control of AF and Inc. And number two disadvantage is lack of assured financing, as there's no members. These are the four alternatives that the committee investigated.
We will be discussing, at your pleasure, the four alternatives as an approach to a possible method of combining several facets or ideas that might be worth considering. We had asked Mr. Bass to develop some ideas for us. He developed a proposal. We'll simply ask him at this time to explain the proposal. I would suggest that the proposal has not been acted on by the board. We haven't expressed ourselves on the matter. And as Mr. Bass presents the proposal requested by the board, ask any questions that you wish. Following that, we will then go back to a discussion of the four alternatives. Mr. Bass.
Chairman, before I start, I'd like to digress for a minute and give you some background on how this came about, and also depart from my usual role of just trying to serve as an attorney for the board and answer their questions. This time I'll be speaking in a great deal in my own behalf in terms of what I see as something useful to consider, not representing the board and not reflecting necessarily what the board thinks or doesn't think, for that matter. Last night, all of you heard a very informative and moving presentation by the Osage people of what happened when their claim came in and what they won, what they lost, and the fights they had to go through. For a moment, I'd like to go back and talk about what happened when my people's claim came in and your people's claim, too. It was 200 years ago, which is a very short time in the lives of your people, but a very long time in the lives of my people. We had a revolution. We had a time when people realized that there was too much power concentrated in the hands of one man. He was called a king. He was pretty far away from the people. And they said no more. Then they tried to get together. And they got together by taking all of the various autonomous regions that were there. They called them colonies, and then they called them states. And they got together in New York, and they drew up a plan. They called it the Articles of Confederation. Under those articles, each of the states had equal powers. And each of the states could do what it wanted to do, could participate or not participate, could veto or not veto. Well, they tried that for a few years, and it didn't work. Seems they forgot something. They forgot the people. So they started over. And they had a convention, and they called people, and they drafted a new document, and they called this one the Constitution. And they drew on both sources of power then. They drew on the people, they drew on the states. They put the people in through the House of Representatives. They put the states in through the Senate. And they put a president in at the head of all the people. Well, that's where I come from. That's what moves me now. That's where I started when I was asked to just think about a structure or several structures. And frankly, to me, I see the other four alternatives as the Articles of Confederation, because I think they build on the regions like the Articles built on the states. But I don't think they give enough consideration to the people. So I tried to come up with something that blended what seemed to me to be the two sources, very great sources of strength and power in the Alaska Natives. That's your regional corporations created by the Claim Settlement Act, born anew of the Claim Settlement Act, some forced onto vague structures in Alaska before the Settlement Act, and given enormous power, given enormous money, enormous land wealth. The second source, the source that's been there for thousands of years, the Alaska Native people, who can't be changed by anything Congress does, nor anything that any of the regional corporations do, nor anything that AFN Inc. does. I think both are valid. Both have a need to be heard. And when both work together, as they did in the Claims Act lobby effort, I think the result is insurmountable. So I drew up initially something that I think you may have had circulated. It's option A. It's got some faults with it, not the least of which are some of the provisions are probably illegal under Alaska law. And I've learned that since I've been up here. But it starts off with a basic premise that the members of AFN Inc. will consist of two separate classes. One, the individual quarter-blood Alaska Natives. Two, the regional corporations. Now, I had originally proposed that the rights of those classes be defined, as you see in Section B, where the individual Natives would elect your principal officers, the president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, would vote on amendments to the bylaws. Amendments would have to be proposed either by the Board of Directors or 10% of the voting individual members, and would vote on such other matters as might be referred to them at the annual meeting by the Board. Provisions B and C in that paragraph are pretty much standard out of corporate organization manuals, if you will. That's what stockholders in most corporations do. Provision A, the election of the principal officers, is the one that I have since found is illegal under Alaska law. Under Alaska law, the board of directors of a corporation has to elect the officers. Barry Jackson pointed that out to me, and Barry suggested a modification, which seemed to me to make a great deal of sense. That is to set up a board of directors comprised of 12 people, elected one from each of the regions being the Class II corporation members, and an additional three members elected at large by all of the individual natives, a chairman, a vice chairman, a second vice chairman. You can call them just about what you would. But three at-large members with equal voting powers on your overall board of directors. The board then would be a balance of both individually elected directors and regional corporation nominees. The board would have the power to hire, fire the president, the vice president, the executive officers of the corporation. I think you'd have a situation then in which the people who had to run the daily affairs of AFN Inc., the officers, would be professionals, would be hired, would have the constant trust of the entire board, or if they didn't, they'd be removed. But they wouldn't have independent political bases. They would be serving at the pleasure of the board. But at the same time, the board would not be independent completely of the people. There would be a representation there. There would be a number of people there who would not have to feel that they were speaking primarily or even halfway for their region. They'd all have regional biases. We all do. We all come from where we are and reflect what we are. But I think they would tend to see things in a little bit different perspective if they came from a meeting elected at large. One of the problems that sort of proposal has generated is some considerable discussion about conventions and the expense of conventions, because it is a big expense, and it takes several days out of all of our times to come to the things, and a lot of times we may question whether they're worth it or not. Well, that's a separate issue, really. It doesn't have to be resolved right now. Because even if you have individual members, you don't have to have a convention. All corporations have in form an annual meeting. Your regions will, your villages will, AFN Inc. will. But it doesn't have to take the form of a convention. Most business corporations with millions of stockholders have an annual meeting and maybe have 100 people show up. The rest of the people are present by mail or by proxy. Could be by telegram or telephone, however you want to set it up in your bylaws. It could be by delegates selected the way you've had at your conventions in the past. I'm saying that's a very flexible thing. It's up to you. But some way or other, I think there's a method through an annual meeting using individual members to draw on individual Alaska Natives, whether they're enrolled now or born later, and have them have some input into the board structure. That, in general, is where I came to, leaving a lot of things to be resolved, obviously, in that proposal, because it's your decision, your recommendation. It's the board's decision, and the board will have to decide what it wants to do with proposed articles, proposed bylaws, and then sell them to the prospective members and get people in.